its current state here on 90.5 WKAR. We are coming to you live this Monday evening from the banks of the Grand River here at Adado Riverfront Park. All this week, current state broadcast live from the Common Ground Festival and the seated area here near the Auto Value main stage just keeps making its way further and further back. So it's just about to us here as patrons continue to walk through the gates here into the park for Guster and Bare Naked Ladies and Ben Folds later on tonight. Bob Harvey is one of the Lansing area's most popular bands ever. After a decade and a half apart, they're playing together again and will appear at the Common Ground on Tuesday. Current state Scott Pohl went to a local restaurant to talk with guitarist Dan Matheny and singer Wordsmith, who explains where the band's name came from.
Dan Stecco and Scott Culling, the two founding members of the band, really started the band as sort of a bebop jazz thing with a sax player. There were no vocals. And then they found me. So they already had the name Bop Harvey, imagining an invisible rabbit somehow combined with bebop jazz before I came along. It just happened that then we turned in a direction that was more roots reggae, and maybe some people heard that as an echo of Bob Marley, but it wasn't intended to be that at all.
Well, I was going to ask you about ska and reggae influences in those early days. I was lucky enough to see Bob Marley in Ann Arbor one time years Sweet. Ago at Hill Auditorium, one of the great concerts I ever saw, and so the timing of you guys coming along with that kind of music was really apropos of the times. There was a lot of popularity surrounding reggae acts as they toured. So would you say that sort of thing was one of the reasons why you found such great local popularity?
That's one reason, but I think reggae in general is kind of a timeless music. You can't really categorize it as 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s. It just sort of has its own feel or its own attraction. And that, in some ways, made the music both danceable and unique, and it also allowed us to get in where, you know, maybe if you were playing a particular niche of rock and roll or something, then you were limited. This, once you got people on the dance floor, you know, the rest followed.
And as I recall, virtually nonstop gigging was a big part of why you got so popular, too. You guys played a lot of shows.
We did. We played just up and down the eastern seaboard and all around the country for 9 years, and started out with full steam just going in all different directions wherever people would book us. We'd play up to 200 shows a year sometimes or more. So we were busy campers for a long time.
Tell me when you came along for the band.
Let's see, I auditioned in 1987 and got the call in January of 1988. And I started right then, and I think we moved east a few months later. So 88 is when I joined the band.
And one of our original guitar player, Steve Shoha, is back with the band. So the band, instead of being a 7-piece as we were all those years, is now an 8-piece. We were a 10-piece when we got together in 2009 for our 25th anniversary shows at Rick's in East Lansing with a huge horn section. We just said, anybody who was in the band and wants to be a part of this, come and join us. And that was sensational. It was almost like a Tower of Power horn section.
did a little research, including poking around on YouTube, looking for clips and that sort of thing, and I found a really interesting clip from 1993 when you were on Late Night with Conan O'Brien. And so we're going to hear Conan O'Brien introduce you guys and some of the music from that night.
My next guests have performed over 2,000 shows around the world. Last year, they even found a fan in President Clinton who personally invited them to appear at his inaugural celebration. And here tonight, they are going to perform a song from their latest CD, The Monster Butt Beat Dance Test. That's a title, ladies and gentlemen. Here they are, Bob Harvey.
Scott, it was April of 1994 when we actually played the Conan O'Brien show, and that was the last week that the band toured, actually, matter of fact. We ended up with the last show at the Majestic Theater in Detroit before we put it off the road for 15 years.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because what I was preparing to ask you was if you thought you had it made with a national TV appearance, and then it turns out you broke up shortly after that.
We did think, we were thinking, why is this happening now? Previous to that, we had played rallies for the candidate, Governor Clinton, before he became president, and we played the inauguration festivities in January of 93. So we were getting a lot of high-profile press, and that, amongst other things, allowed us to get in on the Conan O'Brien show. But it just happened to come on what we knew was the last week we were touring, and we had actually stopped touring in the fall of 93. We had to get back together for a couple of weeks to rehearse before going on the road in April of 94 to do those shows. But it was bittersweet, because we knew this is possibly our big break, and at the same time,
second to last show,
we're putting it to bed for a while.
So explain the breakup. What happened?
Well, after 9 years of constant touring and as many dates as we were doing, a couple of the guys, the two guys that started the band in particular, were looking at marriage and settling down and thinking about turning the band into an XTC-style band where we would just record and put out recordings. And one of the fellas wanted us all to live in New York City, which was really impractical. So we didn't officially break up, but we just stopped touring, stopped recording. And so many years later, we just decided, well, hey, this music is still as good as it was. Let's try it again. And coming up on the 25th anniversary, we decided to do some shows at Rick's in East Lansing. And that's what kicked it off here in the new millennium.
We did those shows and found that, hey, this still works, and let's do some more.
I also realized how much I enjoyed playing with a horn section again. It's just so terrific. Our sax player, Eric Corti, rivals John Coltrane in his ability to solo. It's just unbelievable. Makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up when he plays some solos. Just sometimes it's a one-note solo, and he can just make you your jaw drop. So it was such a pleasure to be back playing that music again that I think we decided that we'd take whatever opportunities came our way. And we've also been working on a little bit of new music, so the future is open.
15 or so years apart, what were you doing musically during that time?
I stayed in New York City after the band for a while. Did kind of guitar player for hire. And I came back here, actually finished a degree at MSU. And then I played with the band The Verve Pipe for about 6 years. And then just started recording stuff after that and doing bop stuff. So, yeah, I did Verve Pipe for a while.
And
I formed another band called Daddy Long Legs shortly after Bob Harvey. And we toured for 5 years in the tracks of Bob Harvey, the same venues, until that band broke up at the end of 1999. And I still play in a bluegrass country hybrid band we call the Harvest Men. So that's my side project.
So in the old days, it was 200 gigs a year. How many gigs are you guys playing these days?
Bob Harvey does maybe 3-4 a year now at the most. We'd probably take more if the opportunities were there, but we also all have our day jobs and careers, so there are obstructions to doing what we used to do.
You mentioned new music. Is there likely to be a new album release?
We're hoping that we can get enough of it together to do that. We have one or two new songs in the works. We have a couple of new covers in the works. So the future is open, and I think we are looking toward that as a real possibility in the future.
These reunion gigs, I know that when word gets out that you're playing again, word spreads, excitement builds. People come to the shows, they wear the old T-shirts that they bought 20-plus years ago at your gigs. It's got to be a lot of fun to see familiar faces and play to crowds that bring that sort of enthusiasm to attending a show.
It certainly is. It's like a big family reunion. It really is.
It really is.
You see so many familiar faces that you had forgotten that you knew until you see them again. You may not know their names, but you really know those faces and smiles, and they look a little older. When we played Rick's in particular, it was really odd because Rick's has now become sort of a young person's place. I mean, it always was a young person's place. It's definitely not what it used to be. It used to be a blues band, blues club almost with live music. Now it's a hip-hop DJ place, and there was an island of older people in this crowd of young people all around them, and the young people, when we first played down there in 2009, and they were just puzzled as to, who are all these old folks, and what are they all doing here?
And we brought them around, though. They really enjoyed it. I had a lot of kids after that, you know, saying, who are you guys, and where did you come from? I've never seen anything like this at Rick's, so it was pretty nice.
And I'll bet a lot of those people, when they come to your shows, are bringing their own kids now.
Absolutely. I see kids, little kids with old Bob Harvey shirts on. And we had some really rabid, loyal fans that used to follow us around, and they're still out there.
Well, an event like Common Ground is a perfect opportunity for those folks to bring their kids to see you again. Really good to meet you guys. Good luck with your Common Ground concert on Tuesday night. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. Thank you very much.
For Current State, this is Scott Pohl.